Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to use your imagination. You can close your eyes if you want, but I want you to picture again the reading from Isaiah about the animals. From Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat. And the calf and the lion and the fatted calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. Wow, that sounds like some kind of beautiful dream with all these animals and the children getting along together. It's just fantastic. Maybe some of you have seen those YouTube videos where they show the different animals that are unlikely friends. And that can happen every once in a while, but generally speaking, that's not quite what we see in our world today. Rather, we see things like we find in the Looney Tunes cartoons. Let's see, there's Tweety Bird and Sylvester. There's Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner. There's Tom and Jerry, right? And if you watch the cartoons, we see them fighting and trying to hurt each other and kill each other. Then the other day, I saw this cartoon. It was a rather amusing cartoon. Those of you that are runners will appreciate this. There's this race that's about to begin. It's actually begun, and there's this poster up ahead that it's announcing the annual Run for Your Life 10K. And it shows all these humans running for their life as all these predatory animals are chasing after them. The annual Run for Your Life 5K. Talk about an exercise program. That'd get me in shape. I'll tell you that. But we see that, right? We see prey and predators in the animal kingdom. And also, as humans, we are very wary of certain creatures. When you go to a zoo, there is a reason why certain animals are in a cage. And in a zoo in New Zealand, there is a zoo where the people are put in a caged car so that they go through the wild area where the animals go. And frankly, I think I'd feel more comfortable with bars between me and a lion. We see prey and predators. What we see is no longer Eden. We look back to Genesis and we see that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and in 6 days, and we see that after each of these parts of creation that are being created, God said, and it was good, and it was good. Beautiful, perfect creation, beyond our imagination. And there was harmony and beauty, no sin. There was relationship between God and between Adam and Eve and between each other. But we know that that is no longer. You look around and you will no longer see Eden, but rather you see prey and predators among the animal kingdom, but sadly we also see prey and predators among humans. We hear about sexual predators. We hear about those that are identity thieves. We hear about all kinds of situations where people are taking advantage of other people. We have domestic violence. We have emotional, physical, sexual, and spiritual abuse that we see in our world. Prey and predators. We see all kinds of things that we would not find in Eden. We see sickness and we see disasters. Sadly, the family of Alice Hagler, is sad, and they were probably sad this Thanksgiving. Or they'll be sad this Christmas because their dear, I believe, grandmother, Alice, 70 years old, was one of those people that was killed in the fires that we heard about in Tennessee. Then maybe you heard about the the warehouse fire in, I believe it was California, and more people died. And this during this holiday season of Thanksgiving and now nearing the Christmas time, there are people who are sad because of the effects of sin. For it says in the scriptures, the wages of sin is death. We also see broken relationships in our world. I was the other day seeing this fake infomercial about this product called Reconcilasec. You know, maybe you've heard of Prilosec, and there was this spoof about this product called Reconcilasec with this purple box with those letters on the side. And this guy was talking about the tension that he and his family experienced during the Christmas season. And he said, you know, I really used to dread holiday times because we'd get together and there'd be all this bickering and this fighting, and it was not harmonious in the least. But he said, now there is Reconcilasec. And he showed this little pill, and he took one of those pills, and he slipped one of those pills in his relative's drinks as they were gathered around, and stuck one in a cookie so that his sister-in-law would eat one of them. And then all of a sudden, at the end of this commercial for Reconcilasec, they showed all the family smiling together in a family photo. If only there was such a thing called Reconcilasec. But sadly, medication will not necessarily heal relationships. That's the broken world that we see. And we see a world that is in need of restoration, and sometimes it can look rather hopeless. I was thinking of Louis the other day when I heard about the World War II era vehicles that were found in a mining shaft in France. And they found this whole treasure trove of World War II era cars that were stashed away in a mine in France to keep them away from the Nazis. But sadly, this particular group of cars, many of them are so rusted that they are beyond repair. It's pretty much a hopeless situation. Sometimes when we look at our world, when we look at situations in our life, we might think that it is beyond repair, that it's hopeless, that there's no way that there could be reconciliation or restoration. And yet, in the midst of all this, we have words of hope which are given to God's people as the prophet Isaiah brings good news of restoration even in a hopeless situation. So I'd like to share that with you at the beginning of our reading for today from verse 1 of chapter 11, using the analogy of a stump and a shoot. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 says, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit." Growing up in California, I would pass by the orchards of fruit or nut trees. And you'd see a lot of these beautiful trees that would produce fruits and nuts. But then every once in a while, you would see a spot that was bare because there was just a stump there. And you know, a tree can get old, it gets struck by lightning, it gets bugs in it, and pretty soon it is beyond repair, and so it pretty much gets cut down. And if you've ever had to deal with a stump, you would probably concur that the only thing a stump is good for might be to sit on or to grind up into powder. The people of Israel are compared to a stump. It looks like a pretty hopeless situation. The people of Israel during the time of Isaiah's writing have experienced some difficult times. They have turned away yet again from the Lord. The northern kingdom got taken over by Assyria, and the southern kingdom was threatened to be taken over by Assyria. At one time, God's people were doing so amazingly well. We think back to the time of David and David's reign and rule like a flourishing great oak tree. But then there were problems, and the line of David, the kingdom split into the north and the south, and God's people were turning away. And if you read the books of 1 and 2 Kings, you will see the lines of both of these kingdoms. And often you will see that there were evil kings that led the people astray. We worry about political corruption in our day and age, but that is nothing new. God's people were experiencing rulers that were corrupt. Finally, after the northern kingdom was taken over, the southern kingdom was also taken over, and they went off into exile, into Babylon. There was a dispersion, and it seemed rather hopeless. It seemed that Israel was to be no more, like a stump. But even in the midst of this hopeless situation, Isaiah prophesies hope as he says, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit." It is true that the people of Israel would be brought back to their kingdom, but more than that, Isaiah is looking forward to a type of king and kingdom that we find manifested because of our Savior Jesus Christ. Ultimately, he is pointing to the shoot from the stump of Jesse, which is Jesus Christ himself. We have Jesus who comes as the ancestor of David, whose kingdom shall be without end. And Isaiah describes this shoot that would be a marvelous king, and we see that in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, speaking of this shoot, which is Jesus Christ. It says this, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins." Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful to have someone like that as a candidate for an office in the United States, or for one of the kingdoms of the world, someone endowed with the Spirit of God. And what we see is Jesus, and upon him the Spirit of God rests. And we see this take place as John the Baptist there is at the Jordan River, and Jesus is baptized. And there's the voice from heaven that says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And it says, the Holy Spirit came upon him as like a dove. And it was Jesus, not a mere mortal, but true God and true man, who brought forth the message of a kingdom like no other, a message of a kingdom where there will be justice, where there will be peace, where there will be joy. And we see Jesus showing forth this as he would heal the sick and proclaim good news to the poor, setting people free from the captivity of sin and darkness. "The kingdom of God is at hand," John the Baptist says. And he's speaking of the fact that Jesus is coming. And Jesus is like a king, or he's a king like no other. We know that he did not come when he came after John to set up some kind of earthly kingdom to kick out the Romans, but rather he came to set up something far more incredible, and he did so by his death on the cross and his resurrection to set people free from sin and death and from darkness. And it is Jesus Christ who comes and who sets you and me free. And as a result, we start to see a manifestation of this peace and joy as he changes your heart and he changes your life, as he changes my heart and he changes my life, changing our perspective, turning our hopelessness into hope because of Jesus Christ. Because of this King, Jesus, we have hearts that are made new. As it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." And as we have been brought into the kingdom of God, as the word has penetrated our hearts and lives, as we are brought to the waters of baptism and made a part of this kingdom, we also have this Spirit of God among us. As the song says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And as the Spirit of God works in you, what happens is the kingdom of God is spread as the message of Jesus Christ is spread. And so we, as God's people, made part of this kingdom, have an opportunity to continue hearing the word about this kingdom, but also in by lips and lives to share the message of this kingdom with the fruits of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And do you think our world needs such things? Absolutely. Paul encourages the Romans in chapter 15 of our epistle. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Jesus Christ, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of your Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. And we also, as God's people, pray as we will in the Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come. And how does God's kingdom come? God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us His Holy Spirit, so that by His grace we believe His holy word and lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity. Isaiah also gives a message of hope, something for us to look forward to. A time when there will be no more strife, when there will be no predator and prey, but rather when there will be peace and harmony among animals and among people. That brings us back to that image that we had starting out the sermon, that image of those animals all getting along together. And this was this image. A man by the name of Edward Hicks tried to capture this as he made a painting called The Peaceable Kingdom. Has anybody ever seen the painting The Peaceable Kingdom by Edward Hicks, about circa 1830? And you can picture this in your mind if you've seen the painting, but in his Peaceable Kingdom, Edward Hicks pictures a group of animals over on the right side of the painting, and there is a whole mixture of animals, of cheetahs and a lion and an ox, and then there's these children among the animals, and you see this one child, a small little child, as he places his hand upon the nose of one of the cheetahs, and there is peace and there's harmony. And then over in the distance, I found this interesting, but over in the distance on the left side of the painting, that would be your left over here, is a group of Indians and settlers, and they're all getting along together over there as there's, I believe, offerings of peace given. And so no longer do we see in the animal kingdom the prey and the predators, but also in among humans, no longer prey and predators, but peace. And what a beautiful image. But you see, this is more than just a hopeful idea, but this is a reality that is coming soon because of Jesus Christ. So as we look around and we see a world full of Tweety Birds and Sylvesters and things far more serious, we can take hope that there will come a time when all will be made right, when there will be peace, when there will be joy, when Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, comes and returns, who is also the Prince of Peace for us. So as we close today, I'd like to leave you with those words that we sung in our sermon hymn today. They are incredibly beautiful words. Listen to these words. What hope Eden prophesied, where tame live with the wild, the lamb and lion side by side, led by a little child. A shoot will sprout from Jesse's stem, a branch from David's line, a prince of peace in Bethlehem, the fruit of God's design. As banner of God's love unfurled, Christ came to suffer loss, that by his death a dying world would rally to the cross. Come, Jesus, come, Messiah, Lord, lost paradise restore. Lord, lead past the angel's flaming sword. Come, open heaven's door. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until that wonderful time of life everlasting. Amen.